You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. It's, I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in the same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Long Special Guest.
Hold on one second.
Let me check real quick.
Hold on. Let me figure this out. Had some problems connected this morning. Let me check.
Brother, can you hear me twice?
Is it a double voice?
Yeah, there's a little bit of an echo.
Okay, all right. I got a few guests on this morning. I had some trouble getting dialed in, so let me figure out double voice.
All right, how about now?
Oh, yeah, you're good, brother.
Okay, sounds good. All right, y'all, sorry about the rough start. Had trouble dialing into my own show. Let's get this thing started again. This is Welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. You just heard me talk to my brother Sincere, who is a long-time returning guest. We have a couple other returning guests as well. But since I started with you, brother, if you will, say hello to the truth seekers so we can get started correctly with this morning's I'm sorry, I'm saying my old listeners, the intellectual outcast now. That's how we deem them in 2023. So with that said, if you will, say hello to everyone out there and give them a little bit of your background as it relates to this morning's show before we even let the question out the bag, if you will, and I'll introduce a couple other guests as well. Go ahead, King. Thanks for being with me this morning.
Peace and love, fam. Brother, thank you as always for inviting me on. I'm excited to speak on the topic of love. And I am one that lives in the space. I'm one that pushes that ideology and reality into community. And I am a poet, a speaker, and author, and holistic relationship coach. I wrote a book called The 30 Love Laws. And I live that life with my beautiful wife, Jules. And we are a forward-thinking, forward-progressive, black love pushing couple. All right, so thank you for having me here. I can't wait to have this conversation, bro.
Nah, absolutely. All right, LaWanda, I'm going to go to you next, if you will, Queen. Thank you for getting on with me this morning. Sorry about the rough start, but if you will, say hello to the intellectual outcast, hello to Sincere, and let people know about what you doing out here in these love streets. You have a series that should be noted, but we'll tell them a little more about that later. But if you will, Queen, introduce yourself, and thank you for being with us.
Hey, this is Lulu. So, hey, everyone. Thanks for allowing me to come on today. I'm excited about this topic. I've learned so much about this topic in the last couple of years. Just really a lot of self-development, a lot of self-awareness, and a self-checking, And that's what has equipped me to be able to speak on this. It's just the things that I've learned, the things that I've dealt with, and the mistakes that I've made as a person in the atmosphere of love and trying to figure it all out. So thank you guys again for allowing me to be on here.
No, absolutely. And without further ado, a very special guest here, Melanie O'Dwini, if you will, Queen. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the Intellectual Outcast and our other special guest, and give people a little bit of your background before we tell them this morning's discussion question, if you will. But thanks again for being with us, Queen.
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're coming through loud and clear. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Good morning, everyone. Thanks to the other guests for being here. My name is Marilyn O'Dwini. I am a cognitive behavioral therapist and motherhood and family coach. I personally work to empower women with the transformational skills to find, you know, peace, power, and purpose in motherhood. And my primary objective in my work is to support the creation of successful families by supporting mothers, you know, with the goal of teaching those necessary skills for relationships, parenting, marriage, and so forth. And I've been doing that for a good many years now. I also have a coaching program that I work through in supporting that goal. And I'm just really excited about this particular topic, as the other guests are, because I think it's one of the most important things that we need to address within our community. So I'm excited about that. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Queen, we'll let you start us off. I think you've been on the show enough to do this. This morning's discussion question, if you are a first-time listener, again, my name is Montoya Smith. I go by Black Socrates. We take the Socratic method to all of these different issues of race, sex, and culture that we love to talk about. But I always start the show a really particular way, which is just to ask my guests when they first heard the question worded that particular way, if they can recall when I called and said, hey, here's the show that we're doing, and here's the question. When you heard the question worded that particular way, if you will, Marilyn, do you recall your first initial thought, not going into the second or third thought, but just the initial thought that came to mind when you heard true love? How real is it?
My first thought was finally, you know, I was really ready to have this discussion, because I think we definitely don't address it enough. And just one of the things I'm sure that we'll discuss going into the show is the idea of, you know, true love. What is true love? What does that mean in the context of relationships, of marriages, and in our communities, and the impact that just that idealization of true love has? And so I was really excited hearing it that way.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. All right, Queen, ladies first, if you will. So Lulu, if you will, as you go by, what was your first initial thought when you heard the question? Just the initial thought, because I got to get this sincere, and we're going to go to a break and get this thing really going. But if you will, yeah, what was your initial thought when you heard true love? How real is it?
My first initial thought was, absolutely, I know that it exists. The thing is do we have the tools and the knowledge that we need to actually make it work? And so that was my first initial thought, is, yeah, I know it exists. It's just, how do we get the tools to figure out how do we make this thing work?
Makes sense. All right, brothers and sisters, again, you've been holding me down for years. And in the event, I'm going to put you on a slight extra duty, if you will, in the event that I get knocked offline, you know, just jump in, because if you don't hear it, that just means I got knocked offline. So I don't anticipate any more technical difficulties, but, we started out with some. So just in case I get knocked off, kind of take over. But we'll turn that over to you as well, brother. When you first heard the question, true love, how real is it? Can you recall your first initial thought?
It was like, yeah, my brother has a conversation that I'm going to be happy and excited and empowered and on fire about today, man. Representing that conversation as a Black man that's happily married, I think that we need to have these types of conversations more so we can get to the thriving and out of the surviving mode.
No, I love it, man. That's perfect timing. We're up against our initial break. For the caller that just got in, we can get you in after the break if you're looking to get in. For anybody out there listening, you can join this morning's discussion. Call us at 646
787-1691. If you want to speak, you do have to press 1. We'll be right back after the break, and we'll get hot and heavy into this morning's discussion question. True love, how real is it? We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
The world is sick for a surprisingly modest-sounding reason. We don't understand love. And yet, we're rather convinced that we do. We talk a lot of love, of course, but generally in terms of a dizzying rapture lasting a few months, focused on someone's beauty, intelligence, and strength. We have high ideals and refer with confidence to concepts like justice, equality, and rights. And yet somehow in the mix, we avoid talking of the sort of love that would give true life to any of these. We are law-abiding and righteous, but we are, in the grandest sense, in the public square, without love. The most convincing definitions of love in the West have come from Jesus of Nazareth, which has proved unfortunate, given how easy it is for rational types to confuse an overcoming of supernatural faith with a neglect of the subject of love. To move forward, we require a new philosophy of love. In effect, a powerful secular religion of love. This should be read out after the news and its tenets taught to CEOs and supply chain managers. We should put it on t-shirts, and it should be as common and more useful to say, I'm trying to learn to love, as to announce a desire to become fit or famous. It's no insult to have to acknowledge that even though we inhabit a culture soaked in romanticism, we have problems understanding love. And even though we've had plenty of crushes and heard plenty of songs about love, we're still taking our first steps towards grasping what love might actually be.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Again, I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, true love, how real is it? Have an amazing group of guests here. I'm going to start with our cognitive behavior therapist, Marilyn, if you will, Queen. Just kind of a cut that just kind of lays out the world's, if you will, especially in, you know, us here in the West, if you will, struggle with the understanding of love. Lulu mentioned, you know, she's coming to understand it in the last couple of years. It reminds me of a show we did a couple of years ago, Hip Hop, how I lost 10 years chase. How I lost a decade chasing love, and that show was about my misunderstanding of love throughout my 30s or whatever. So, Sincere said, it's a topic that needs to be discussed. You said it needs to be discussed, but again, I think that initial thing we just heard lays out some of the dilemma, but go ahead and let's get your 3 cents on this, I guess, definition and foundation, or what is it that we're missing, if you will, Queen, your thoughts.
Absolutely. I totally agreed with what was said in that initial cut. And I think, let me be clear that I'm not against the idea of love, you know, in marriage and relationships and that being a big part of what makes it successful. I believe it's extremely important, but it's not the most important thing. And we confuse love, the emotion of love, which a lot of us get wrapped up in when we meet someone and we're infatuated with someone, as being the driving force that will lead us to commitment and making it through the difficulties and challenges that will arise in marriage. When in fact, it's not the emotion of love, which can be very deceptive for us, it's the action and actually living love as an action and a choice that you make with a person each and every day. And that is what I think is the disconnect that we have is getting away from seeing love and connecting that emotional part that, you know, exists and is good to have, but not allowing that to be the foundation, because it's a very, you know, unstable foundation to build anything on.
No, I love the, again, just that breakdown. So, Sarah, I'm going to jump to you, if you will, King. And I think you may have heard me say this before. You know, I go by Black Socrates and consider myself a philosopher, if you will. And one thing that I love to highlight when it comes to this subject matter, and I say it to people just to make them, in a sense, just kind of step back. You know, context and perspective is always the goal on this dialogue or these discussions, if you will. And so the thing that I always say, for as long as humans have been earthed and evolved into, you know, coming together in relationships and, you know, and marriage, if you will, obviously relationships and coming together physically is a natural thing or whatever. That's what living organisms do, if you will, Isaiah. But the thing that we're experiencing currently in 2023, the thing that makes us unique is, in a sense, the latest version of humans. We're the first humans to be raised with movies.
You know, right.
So we're the first group of humans that had to deal with romanticized movies in addition to what you know, might could read, because before movies, most of the world couldn't read anyway, right? Before public education. So for even the poets and the writers that could, you know, write about love in a romanticized way, hell, most of the people couldn't read it, right? So it's definitely a new age, right, if you will, King. But your thoughts, again, having written a book yourself, and just that concept of we are the first humans to be raised with movies. You know, how has that kind of mirror, you know, smeared the mirror, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And that's a powerful point. First off, I want to say peace and love to the awesome women that's on this discussion as well. But, brother, let's jump right on into it. See, a lot of us have romanticized or have put in a box this word love. So we don't have a proper working definition, right? So let's start there. The context of love from a historical sense is based on tribalism, right? So at the lowest level, love is emotionality. It's the thing that connects us humanly. At the highest end, it's God consciousness. Love is the only thing on record as being God, and God is love, which rests right within us. So what's in the middle? What's in the middle are words, their actions, frequency, vibration, and it's the learning mechanism that teaches us what that thing is over a lifespan, right? So that's a great working definition, because as I coach people, most people that I talk to, that I coach studying this word for 20 years, most people don't have a good working definition of the word love. So we have to start with the proper context to be able to achieve it at a high level.
No, it makes a lot of sense. LaWanda, if you will, again, you mentioned, hey, the last couple of years, Why Should I Get Married series. I think I'm saying that correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong. So you, in a sense, like you said, the last couple of years, delved into this topic specifically in regards to relationship and marriage, if you will. But like yourself, I too am learning, and that's why I love to have the Sinceres and the, you know, and Marilyn's on the show, because again, they study it, they teach it, they help others, and now you're in the space of kind of trying to help others as well. So I want to applaud you for that. But yeah, what are your thoughts of just, again, we are the first humans to be raised with movies, if you will, and Cecilia and Marilyn have said a lot. Your thoughts, Queen?
Well, my thoughts are, you know, it's just really the understanding, and I like how Cecilia broke that down, because, you know, I think that knowledge is power, you know, and if we can understand things in a more simple way, then we're able to, it's kind of like teaching a child to ride a bike. If you don't ever teach them to ride a bike, they'll never learn to ride the bike. So we need the tools, we need the education, we need the information in order for us to, in order for us to thrive, in order for us to understand. And I think that's where it all lies down, is figuring out what this word love is and figuring out what it means and figuring out, you know, how to actually make things work. Like, I think it's just about knowledge and knowing and understanding. And sometimes when you're taught something that you've never even heard, it's like, oh, my gosh, I can do this. So it's really about knowledge.
Now, it makes a lot of sense, Marilyn. I'll go back to you. And what LaWanda's saying kind of brings me back to what we heard in that cut, the idea of learning love is kind of what that cut left us with, right? The concept of learning love, because as Sincere said, and you mentioned as well, Sincere said, hey, the lowest level is the emotion of love. And I absolutely, completely admit and understand how as humans we can kind of get stuck at that lowest level, believing and thinking that's actually what love is, and try to form relationships based on that. And we hear these romanticized things in movies, in books, that it's the foundation. But as both of you have said, if we have the wrong definition of what that is, then it's not much of a foundation, is what I think I heard you say. But go ahead, Queen. Jump right in.
Absolutely. I think Sincere, Eno, and yourself and everyone has said a good bit about that, where when we build, and we see it all the time, over 50% of first marriages end in divorce. And we're in a culture where most people are marrying for love, or what they believe is love. And it's a major shift historically from where what we have been as a people in any of our cultures. It's a major historic shift happening in the West, particularly, that we're marrying for love in the most recent generations. And that's when we began to see these major shifts in divorce and marriages ending and families splitting, because we're not building on the foundation that is meant to really encompass everything that we need. And just to be pretty frank, we don't know enough. And I think LaWanda was making a great point when it comes to knowledge and understanding about what love is, and you know, and beyond the emotion of love, that we don't take the time to really learn and understand what that means to love. We don't, you know, for ourselves, our own personal development. You know, many of us go into relationships where, in our own lives, in our own personal relationships with ourselves, we don't love ourselves. You know, we don't even know how to do that, and we're trying to now bring another person into that relationship with us. And it's a recipe for disaster. And it shows a lot in our communities and just in the amount of divorce and broken homes that we have. And the funny thing is, just before I let someone else speak, is that we don't even have as high a number of broken homes as you would say, in so much as we don't have the number of relationships that even make it to marriage. Most of our homes start out without ever even having marriage and that kind of love as a foundation, period. So most of us grow up not even seeing that as a proper example to know how to move forward in our own lives.
No, that's a very amazing point. I'm going to go to Sincere here. And the thing, just with you throwing it out at the end, the other aspect of when you even get into the self-love, the natural foundation of, I'll use this word, nuclear family, is part of you loving yourself is two entities pointing to you properly. And so that's kind of the foundation that sets you up to respect yourself. And now you have a foundation to bring someone else in. And to your point, without that, it's a lot of us walking around chasing something that we didn't receive in childhood, in many cases. Sincere, if you will, again, I know you work with a lot of couples. So some of these elements that, you know, that Marilyn's beautifully laying out, are you seeing the couples come to you with some of this stuff missing, or what? How much teaching are you having to do to, in a sense, maybe rearrange someone's view of love if they've only kind of came into it with the romanticized marrying for love, as Marilyn just mentioned, and how it's that marrying for love by itself is a big shift based on what humans have done way prior to this latest era. How is that? What are you seeing inside your relationship coaching situations?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people miss the boat. They have a couple of different definitions on a thing that they're looking to achieve together. And our sister just laid it out perfectly. It's a misconception of how we see love. See, a lot of us, we're stuck on Rome antics, right? So being the original people here, we thrive off of intimacy, where it's into me, we get to see each other. But if we don't know what's there right within ourselves, it's hard to teach someone else how to love us again, with the definition of love being the lowest level emotionality at the highest level. It's bigger than you because it encompasses a God consciousness. Or it's about me, but it's not only about me. It's about my tribe. It's about my wife. It's about my children. It's about the community. So once we have a full and well-rounded definition of that thing that we're looking to achieve, then we can achieve it. But it's the misconception of these things that are leading us down the path to ruin. When I hear that love is not enough, I cringe because I'm like, there's no way you can understand the totality of this word, which encourages purpose, functionality from unification, and that is more than enough.
Oh, man, that's huge, Sincere. That's huge. I think I got a cut that later that may even mention that love is not enough or whatever, but now that I'm hearing you break this down, as you always do so beautifully, I know you're into entomology, so for those that may not have heard Sincere, again, he's been on the show plenty of times, but brother's a poet, so he definitely understands language better than the average person, and again, into entomology, so I love how he's breaking down love and intimacy, like all of that is beautiful. But the big thing about when you cringe, when you say you cringe when you hear love is not enough, me coming into this better understanding and learning, as the first cut said, learning about love now later in my way, much later in my life, which I wish I would have learned it much younger. But in learning it, I often make the mistake of saying what you just said, love is not enough, because I am referring to the romanticized lowest level that we typically understand the word to be. But when I think, listen to you break down, hey, how your understanding of love, it makes sense that it would make you cringe, because you're not limiting it to the word that we're throwing around kind of loosely that is not enough. So for you, it makes you cringe, man. That's huge. For the callers out there, if you're looking to get in, I see several callers, you do have to press 1. If you're a first-time caller, you have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. For anybody online, 646-787-1691. Again, press 1 if you want to speak. If you're just listening via the phone, no problem. LaWanda, got anything for us with everything that you're hearing? But I'm blown away by love. Him saying, you know, love is not enough makes him cringe now that we're getting this better understanding. Your thoughts, Queen?
Yeah, and I can understand that because, you know, I thought the same thing because I didn't have the understanding of it. And so I get that 100%. I thought love was, like, I actually thought being a good spouse was cooking and cleaning. Like, I limited it to that. As long as you cook and you clean, you know, you're giving all you can. And that was completely so far-fetched. and so it's like, you know, what is, I think people need to ask, you know, themselves this question, what is love to me? What does love mean to me? What do I provide in that space, and what am I expecting in that space? And figure out if you have the correct definition of what you're trying to accomplish. Because again, I always thought it was just as simple as washing dishes and folding clothes and doing laundry. It was so simple. It was so and it didn't even touch the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so learning that and knowing that, it's helped me tremendously, you know, to understand that. Yeah.
Now, that makes sense. Let me do this. We're up against a break, and I want to share what, a lot of what's happening. I've been guilty of this, unfortunately, several times in my own life. And so what a lot of us know is love. I just found this word. I'm pretty sure Marilyn Sincere know this word very well, but fantasy bonds.
are what a lot of us are creating. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of share what that thought was before we go to this break and we'll continue the conversation. But I looked it up. It says, what is a fantasy bond? Fantasy bonds are, in essence, when you bond and attach to someone based on who you believe they can be or will be, or what you believe they can or will be able to give you in the future. This is not the same as wanting to grow old with someone and feeling excited to see their development through life's journey. This is agreeing to poor behavior, disappointment, and unmet needs because you hope one day this person will magically change and provide better for you. Perhaps your partner is distant or chaotic or continues to hurt you in some way and make excuses for it. Whatever it might be, there is not true intimacy. There goes that word Sincere said, and care between you. However, you convince yourself that one day this relationship will give you what you actually want and your partner will grow to be able to treat you well with a little work or when circumstances change. A lot of us, I've been guilty of it again, of that. We are up against the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers.
Why you ask?
Man, you gotta try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping gel or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try the sweet red first.
Okay, that's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure, that's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
Charity. Love means, above anything else, benevolence and gentleness towards what is failed, disgraced, broken, unappealing, angry, and foul in other people and in ourselves. Love isn't about an admiration for strength. It's about directing sympathy in a most unexpected direction at what is messed up, lost, and in pieces, and at what we might hate, resent, and be frightened of. Anyone can express an interest in perfection. To love is to devote an active charity towards the mistakes and aberrations. One day, we will all require the charity of others. In one way or another, we'll be on our knees, and we will need people to look past our evident failings in a tender search for our deeply hidden merits.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, true love, how real is it? As we hear another cut, Marilyn, I'm going to start with you. If you're just now tuned in, we got an amazing group of guests here. But Marilyn, if you will, I think that cut was eye-opening. I found it late last night. Eye-opening for me, very much understanding, in a sense, or I think I'm understanding, if you will, charity and giving to others, which is kind of a part of who I've always been. But when I hear that cut break down what has to be included, it doesn't sound as sexy as the love I sought most of my young life, if you will. It sounds very unsexy, but it sounds like very much the reality is included in what love is or whatever, and it highlights charity is the highest form to include being okay with the worst of us. So what does that look like within relationships? And again, I know you coach couples as well, that's particularly mothers, but what does that look like? What did you take from that cut that can help us better understand this word love, if you will, Queen?
It's a very important take because in reality, that is that's the crux of love, is not when, you know, we're seeing all the things that seem perfect about our partner, all the things that we love, all the things that we admire. That's easy to do. But what really creates longevity within marriages, within relationships, is that sense of charity, of being able to not look past the weaknesses and the failings of the other person, but being willing to have a level of empathy, a level of compassion and patience, and accepting the other person with their flaws and being able to truly, first of all, you know, again, going back to the idea of understanding and accepting yourself and knowing what your own personal requirements, desires, and boundaries are, you know, and when you understand that, you're better able to understand, you know, what exactly you can have that level of charity for in another person. And then once you understand it, being able to truly live in that space. I love what Brother Sincere said earlier in the conversation about love truly being a God consciousness, you know, because God is love. And I don't think, you know, you have to necessarily be religious to understand that. But I want to step a little bit into, you know, that pulpit space of looking into what is said about love, what love truly is. And if any of you are, you know, familiar with the Bible or anything, you can look at 1 Corinthians and it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrongs, and so on and so forth. And when you think about what a lot of our relationships look like, do we truly embody those things when it comes to our relationships? And it's easy to, it's easy to do the light lifting, but when it comes down to those core elements of what love is and what God represents or our being of God represents in relationship, that's the real heavy lifting when you have to have that level of discipline in who you are. And that's another key word that I think we don't understand that comes with love. It requires a high level of discipline within yourself to truly understand and apply the tenets of love.
Man, I've heard that verse so many times at marriages and things of that nature, but as I'm thinking about it today as we're having this conversation, I listened to you lay out that Corinthians verse, Marilyn, and I thought to myself, wow, most of our relationships are the opposites of those things that many of us have heard all our lives, and when we're at a wedding, we appreciate it, and we love to hear the pastor spew what love is, and we surface level think we understand it, but don't realize quite often in our own relationships we're doing the opposite. And Cecilia, I know you can talk about this, and quite often the reason we're doing the opposite is because we didn't receive a lot of that at childhood quite often. And so when we seek out what we're missing, we actually become selfish in how we want to love. And we're the opposite of that. We do keep a record versus love keeps no record. I'll let you, Sincere, you kind of take over here because I'm not the expert. I'm learning as we speak, if you will. But if you will, jump in on that, because I hear you talk about, you know, a lot of what Marilyn just talked about that relates to that cut. Relates to that verse, if you will. But go ahead, King.
Sure, absolutely, man. And I love that you brought in the fantasy bond, right? So most of us, we get into a connection, a relationship, a marriage. We're looking to fill a void based on what you just said. I didn't receive enough love from my mother or my father or whoever raised me. So this person is going to fill the void, or I become the savior for another, right? What happens oftentimes in that situation is there is an unfair expectation, and we create this fantasy of this person by and large, not based on reality, but based on what we need, want, and desire, right? So we put an unfair tag on this person that this person, either I'm going to save this person when I need saving, or this person is going to save me. And they haven't been saved themselves. Like they haven't become what they need to be able to pour into me properly, because they don't pour into themselves properly. But if you don't know what the characteristics of those things are, how it works, how it looks, how it feels, then we often misdiagnose the thing that we need in our lives to help take us to that next level.
Now, it makes sense. We actually got a caller that wants to jump in. Area code 678, last 3189. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Good morning. My name is Willie. I'm calling from Marietta. And great show this morning. I just wanted to comment on something that Cynthia said, which I really love. or he describes love as emotional love is the lowest level, and the highest of it is the God consciousness. It's also something that he mentioned, that love is tribal. And I don't think he's gone into that in more. Maybe hopefully he's going to go into that more as we go through this. Then something that Montoya said, that we are the generation, we're the first generation to be raised by movies and TVs. Now, when we talk about love, and if love is tribal, then when it was tribal, it was defined within the tribe. And when we talk about that love is something bigger than ourselves, in a tribal setting, I would think that it's bigger than me. It's about the tribe. And even when you put it in the context of, you know, the Christian marriage, love is between a man and a woman before God. And if you're going to talk about the God consciousness, then between a man and a woman, but they, God supersedes even the bond of the two people. Now, then the question becomes, have we gotten the wrong definition of marriage or true love from the movies that we've consumed? Because really, just quick, then I'm going to finish. I met a brother who is a pharmacist, and he mentioned that his daughter, who is 23 years old, is gay. I could see the sad expression in his face. And got comfortable enough to ask him, how do you think this happened? And without blinking, he said, Disney. That was heavy, because it's something that I've thought. It's something that I have thought about, how much TV is influencing. Because when you look at, I think Disney is one of the most powerful elements in the American culture. Because, I grew up in Kenya. I've been in America for over 20 years. But whenever I have a conversation with an American, whether white, black, we cannot have an hour conversation without a reference to a TV show or a movie. So love it. And I believe it all goes back to the family. And lastly, I think we will reclaim our true love, our relationship, when we know it's not about us. It's not about what you, it's not about what Daniel Jackson said, what have you done for me lately, but what we can do for the tribe. And that is for the growth of the next generation. We talk about generational wealth, but it's not about millions, but how powerful, the strong children that we build, the strong grandchildren and great-grandchildren that we build. That's all.
Hey, man, amazing 3 cents. I appreciate that. It's a lot to delve into there. So we got a couple of minutes before the break. But thank you so much, Willie. Great call this morning.
Thank you.
Sincere, the brother's saying a lot. You mentioned, as he said, love is tribal, or maybe I'm saying it incorrectly, but I'll kind of let you address some of what he said. That was an amazing 3 cents, almost, I'll call it almost 4 cents, if you will, but that was an amazing 3 cents this morning. But go ahead and jump into, maybe add on to where you was going versus, kind of what Willie was bringing to the table as well. Brother Zasir, are you still live with us? Actually, he may have dropped. All right. Let me get him back on here. 1 second. Yeah, here we go. All right, Cecil, I got you back on. Yes. Go ahead, King.
Okay, great, great, great. So can you hear me?
Yeah, you loud and clear. Go ahead, King.
All right, so Willie placed
it up, and then I'll let you finish after the break. Just give me a heads up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Willie placed some awesome comments about tribalism, and that is where the rubber meets the road. That's the fabric of how love is developed. All right, so I'll just leave it right there, man, and after the break, man, we'll really dive into it.
No, that sounds good. For the caller that's out there, we're going to get to you right out of this break as well, after Sincere breaks that down. Again, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Been searching for someone to satisfy my head. Won't you be mine?
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, true love, how real is it? We're going to jump right back in. Sincere, jump in where you fit in, and we'll get to the caller after you break down this love is tribal, if you will.
Absolutely. And as a holistic relationship coach, I like to let people know what wholeness means, or holistic truly means. That is how spirit, mind, and body creates reality, right? We are spiritual beings, right? We learn the context of that through our tribe or through our family, right, going back to our ancestry. So that's what connects us directly to the Most High. See, we've been taught things out of order. So we say mind, body, soul, or mind, body, spirit, but you put the most important thing on the back burner or on the backside. It's exactly what we do with love because we've been taught in that fashion. So I stated earlier that everything has to have a cultural context. Without that, we're going to be upside down and inside out. And that's what my brother Willie was speaking to. So when we learn the proper order, we can get out of disorder and create alignment and love each other better, be more unified, and get back to that tribal space that made us such great people to begin with, who civilized the world.
Now, I love it. Marilyn, I'm pretty sure you loved everything Willie had to say. Again, you're in this space helping others navigate these relationships and marriages. But if you will, continue to add on to what you're hearing, because, again, I'm here at both of your feet, if you will, learning, and then we'll get Lulu's thoughts as well. But go ahead, Quinn.
Oh, absolutely. In that vein of tribalism, of love being tribal, and what Willie had to say about that, I absolutely believe in that. I myself, you know, my family, we're Nigerian, and you know, this marriage for us is, you know, and even in the way that I personally got married, my marriage didn't happen without the involvement of my family and my whole entire community being in support of it, and we don't even consider bringing someone into that fold without it being a tribal thing. And it's so important to highlight that, because marriage is something that is supposed to move a family and a community forward. You know, it's definitely a huge endeavor in personal growth for each individual, but it also highlights the growth of a family and of a community and a way forward generationally for every community. And so that's absolutely a major highlight in what love and marriage represents. And again, going back to the topic of this discussion, is that all of that encompasses love, and you make decisions about who you partner with considering all of those things, you know, and how you're able to live out that consciousness of love within yourself, in relationship with the other person, and with your community and generations in mind.
Now, it makes a lot of sense. Lulu, as a matter of fact, let me highlight something. Mm-hmm. I was able to share some of this information at one of your, Why Should I Get Married events. You had. Mm-hmm. Myself, matter of fact, I think Sincere might have been hosting that particular event. But I want to just share, as we hear Willie and Marilyn, again, giving some of their, in a sense, being from the motherland, that's kind of their origins, and we're hearing how marriage, love, encompasses all of these other things that we absolutely understand we're not hearing every day or seeing on the TV, again, having that big influence. But I want to give us a slight history to how, if you will, the West even got to this point. And again, I shared this at one of Lulu's events. And it's understanding that even in Western society, family, marrying another family, all of that was understood historically, even in the West, even here in America. And then eventually we watched the world progress into a marketplace economy based on technology. And so no longer... And what that means in the context of today's show is simply that you could go out and find work in the marketplace, which was very different than when we had an agricultural society, which we were prior to becoming a technology society, if you will, industrial society. So people had big families, so you could work the farm, work the land, and you needed to stay in the good graces of your parents in order to get a nice plot of land or to take over the family plot and pass down generation to generation. So you pretty much wanted to make sure you were in good graces. Obviously, there were people, the black sheep, if you will, but generally speaking, yeah, your family would kind of be a move, it be involved in, okay, you're going to marry her or you're going to marry him. Okay, what do you know, kind of, what do they have? So even in Western society, based on the agricultural background, there was kind of that same foundations that humans had always moved upon in how they would find one another, if you will. Once you got to marketplace, and I'm not requiring, you know, approval or something being passed down from my grandparents or my parents in order to have actual land and I could go out and work for myself, it drove us into the era that we're in now, and we're out here working and finding whoever, and it's just my decision on who I find and marry, and I don't involve family. So again, I mentioned that at your event, but Luanda, if you will, kind of jump in. But you know, I think that history shows how we move so far away from what Willie called in and talked about, and at core is still who we are as a people, whether we realize it or not. Your thoughts, Queen? Hello, Luanda, did I lose you? Let me check and make sure she didn't drop as well.
She may be on mute.
All right, let me check. All right, let me find you, Queen. All right, yep, I got her. All right, sorry about that, Queen.
Hello?
Go ahead and jump in.
No,
you're live.
Okay.
You're live on the air.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but you were really what sparked the Why Should I Get Married. We were actually having another event, and that was something that you kept bringing up, is marriage and unity. And you know, and that's when, you know, it dawned on me is that we, as a community, needed to get in a space where we talked about marriage more, we encouraged marriage more. And like you were just saying, I mean, that is something that you spoke about at the event that was so powerful, because what we do is we don't understand the importance of it was something that you said. You said, if we keep marriages together, we save our children. And I was like, wow, because if you look back at the generations of broken marriages and then the children that came from those broken marriages, and you kind of compare that to the marriages that with the children that was brought up in a two-parent home, it's so different. The dynamics are so different. The you know, the thought processes are so different. And that's why the Why Should I Get Married event was actually created, because of that statement that you made. If we can save the marriages, we can save the children, and we can save the families.
Nah, thank you for that. I've always definitely worn it as a badge of the work that we do, again, with the Mental Dialogue Community Club. If you're a first-time listener, yes, we have this show live every Saturday, but ultimately our goal is to dialogue and connect, have these hard conversations and connect each other to ideas, services, goods, and do business with each other, but spark ideas that can better our community. And it all happens just from having this intentional space. So I've always been super proud and was so glad when you asked me to be involved initially. And I understand you're starting a series back up again. We'll tell them details for those in Atlanta, how they can actually be a part of that series, which I highly recommend, because it is a live event. With that said, Sincere, you and your amazing wife are here in Atlanta. We definitely, in our community, hold y'all as examples of what, in a sense, we should strive to be, which is the opposite of all these things that we're talking about that we've mislearned or didn't understand about love or miss. What I say is we misplace love, because sometimes, like Marilyn said at the very beginning in the show, she doesn't want to sound like we're downplaying it and not saying it doesn't have its place. We just kind of have it misplaced. And to your point, Sincere, we're only understanding the lowest level, as you've kind of clarified for us. But with that said, I would love to even hear, if you will, just an example of, I'm taking kind of back to a prior cut, the idea of charity and what that looks like within a marriage, for how you have to be empathetic for this thing that, you know, if you're not caught up in the fairy tale of the perfection of the situation, which causes a lot of heartache, right? And so you, with the understanding, how does that play out within, you know, your own relationship, as you will? Because we definitely need examples of what that looks like if we don't, haven't, you know, we're hearing this for the first time, real life experience can aid with that. So any situation you would care to bring forward or help us understand what it really looks like.
Sure, sure, absolutely, man. We are a people of charity. We are givers at heart, and that's a part of your purpose. So I'm going to take the cap off of one of life's great mysteries. What's our purpose? So our purpose is the same as humanity. Our purpose is to become the best version of ourselves, to help someone else become the best version of themselves. Now, how we do that is going to be different based on our specific gifts and our talents. So what we should be going through this life is finding out what our gift is and what our talents are that surround that gift so we can properly serve each other, right? So one of the things that me and my wife did, we sat down and we asked each other. We had a connected conversation. I asked my wife, okay, baby, what do you need? What do you want? What do you desire? And we had that conversation. Before we got engaged, before we got married, and then I went to meet her family to see who created this person, what her influences were. And then I took her to meet my family, my awesome grandmother, my mother, my aunts, the people that were important to me, so we can truly understand how does this person see connection, support, love, service, so forth and so on. And then we created the fabric of how to do that for each other in our own relationship by asking the question intelligently and building on that as a part of our mansion that we call a relationship.
Wow, that's deep. Marilyn, any thoughts on any particulars that, you know, maybe an example that can help? Like maybe, for example, thing that maybe some couples get caught up in because they don't fully understand what love is based on what we're saying today, and they're still trying to figure that out. You know, what's an example of kind of, in a sense, like you said, you don't want to just put up with the issue from your spouse, if you will, but you want to learn how to be empathetic about that issue. Any particulars? Again, I'm not trying to dig too much into your stuff, but I think it just helps those of us hearing and learning this maybe for the first time or trying to get an understanding, you know, in a real life example or experience of what that could look like, even though I didn't know I would have to deal with that, or I didn't think I was going to have to deal with that, if you will. And, you know, some people go into it like that, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think one of the big things is, again, I have a background in child psychology. I'm a parenting coach, and, you know, so there's a lot of strengths that I have in the area of family and children and education and a lot of other things. And that's a difference and a skill set that I have that going into our marriage that my husband didn't necessarily have. And I think that's one of the areas where it comes down to, you know, having that charity and having that empathy and that compassion. And when we may not necessarily be doing things the same way, but always being willing to understand where that person is coming from and being willing to be patient as that person, you know, learns and grows in that area, and not condemning them, you know, for not being able to operate the same way as you, and also being willing to learn, because there are many things that me coming in with all of my education and background, I can easily say, I know everything about being a parent, you know what I mean? But my husband, just being who he is and his own personal strengths, brings a lot to the table. There are many things that I have learned from him. My husband is an extraordinarily patient person, you know, and I thought I was patient, you know, when it comes to children.
Nice.
He blows me out of the water, you know. So I've learned
nice.
A lot.
I love it.
From him.
I love that example.
Yeah.
I think that is very critical, and I'm going to highlight that. We've got to go to the top of the hour break, if you will. 773, we'll get to you coming out of the break. But I love that example because, yeah, that's a great example. You, again, all this background, you, like you said, you think you know everything, and you realize there were some things you need to humble yourself
Because like you said, when you're watching him initially, you're like, oh, he's doing all this wrong based on your expertise, right? But like you said, you were smart enough not to condemn him, allow him to grow into the things that he realized, okay, she's the expert on, let me learn. But you also were humble enough to learn from him. Beautiful example. We are at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
It never came to mind that a man coming to me to talk to me is just coming to me to have sex with me. Of course you think that. But your ego prevents you from
accepting it,
fully processing that fact. We all want to be loved, and we all think that we're deserving of the highest form of love. So I think that all women think that they're hot, they're the hot shit. I'm the light of your life. Like, without me, you're good as dead. We all think that, even if it doesn't work out. We're not thinking, oh, that's because he was just here for pussy. We just label it as, oh, he's a player. Oh, he wasn't ready. Oh, I'm too good for him. Oh, I didn't want to keep him, you know.
I'm single by choice.
I'm single by or.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, true love, how real is it? If you haven't figured out, we are not a politically correct show. And as much as we've been talking about and learning about love, I wanted to dig into actually what's happening out here. And I think that cut comes from We Need to Talk podcast. I just started following them. So as usual, the universe lines me up with things that are going to come up on this show, if you will. And so podcast, and the young lady expresses not realizing, in a sense, how a lot of us as men, how we were approaching you at various periods in our life, if you will, in a lot of cases, especially in the sow your wild oats stage, which I've talked about plenty of times on this show. We just did a show a couple of weeks ago. Go back and listen on men and high body counts. What does it mean for us? And so I highlight that cut because in a lot of cases, what that young lady just mentioned is the reality to how a lot of our relationships start, and then we take this loose version of love and delve into a relationship in a lot of cases with someone who initially wasn't looking for the love we're talking about now. And that's what I would highlight that Lulu pointed out is the era that we live in now, and somehow we're trying to find relationships in that. Sincere, any thoughts about that cut? And as well as you, man, I want to just hear any thoughts y'all hear about that cut. And then I also want to share something from my book as well. So just a quick thought on why I think that cut relates to today, if that makes sense. Sincere, just any thought on that, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We show up sometimes with a false reality on ourselves, or a defined reality not truly based in who we are, what we are, how we're designed, so forth and so on. But it's a westernized, a philosophical way of going about projection, right? And traveling the world, one of the things that I've been able to see is and we limit ourselves so much based on trying to fit in these boxes and these ideology and these pockets, right, which don't allow us to see our potential partner for who they are or have them see us for who we are, which is detrimental to the love process, man.
Nah, it makes sense. Matter of fact, let me jump to this caller real quick as well, Marilyn, before I... Matter of fact, we got a couple callers, so we're going to go to both callers, and then I'll share from my book as well. Area code 773, last 3768. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Peace and love. I'm Cynthia Sage Eel, and I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Special invite from Tim Sear. Thank you for inviting me to the call. I wanted to touch on the topic, like the topic. Peace, Mark. I want to touch on, is love real, the topic of today, and it's something that is not, I'm not hearing, but I heard a little bit, is that, for one, love is action and it's growth. Like, growth and love goes hand in hand. I heard the mother speak on it some, but if, and sometimes you don't, and love is different for everybody, and you don't, what's love for you may not be what's love for me. So it's, until you're in it, you may not even figure out what that love is. Once you're in that relationship and you're in the mix of it, now you're figuring out what that love is for you. And so now, as a mate, you have to be willing to grow to when your mate is figuring out what that love, that action is for them. And not a lot of times in relationships, they like, well, I wasn't doing that in the beginning. Well, you know what? I didn't know that was a requirement for me in the beginning. You know, as I'm in the mix of it right now, like, we can sit here and say love is this, love is this, love is this, but in reality, it's different for everybody. And so I didn't know that was a requirement for me until we got into the mix. And now that we're in the mix, do you love me enough to be able to learn what my other ways of loving me is so that we can continue to grow and elevate? And yes, we all, because love dysfunction, because a lot of us learn dysfunctional love before we learn righteous love. Are you willing to love me enough to forgive my dysfunctional loving that I express to you and grow in true love and what my action of love is? So I just wanted to put that in. Like I said, love is different for everybody.
No,
and
absolutely.
Sometimes you
no,
don't learn it until you're in the mix.
No, is that, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Queen. I'm sorry.
No, that's how I yield the floor.
No, yeah, I wanted to highlight this, an amazing 3 cents. And it's kind of been slightly layered, you're right, as far as our actual dialogue hasn't been said specifically, and I thank you for bringing it to the table. And Marilyn has mentioned it, and one of the cuts mentioned the idea of being able to be empathetic to that growth. Like, you know, a couple of cuts talk about what I would call it the ugly parts of love that we don't even think about because we're, again, romanticizing it. So thank you so much for that very salient point that at the end of the day, it's accepting your growth. Marilyn, can you give me a quick thought on that? And then I got to go to another caller as well.
I definitely appreciate what she had to say about, and I think I mentioned it earlier in the call about love being something that you grow into. I think we have this kind of dangerous idea about falling in love with someone. And when you talk about falling, it denotes a lack of control and a lack of order in the things that we're doing. And it seems a little bit unsafe when you're falling into something. But when you are being proactive and intentional about the steps that you're taking and you're growing into something, that promotes a lot more longevity and the ability to actually embody all of the things that we've been talking about. So, you know, practice growing in love as opposed to falling in love is more of a recipe for success than, you know, what we're seeing happening in our culture now.
No, absolutely, because I've been falling in love and been so scared of falling in love, pushing people off. So, yeah, just even the terminology ain't even right? And deal with people who are afraid to fall in love. It's kind of like, for me, it was, I'm very, you know, honest and straightforward, if you will. And so I talked about this on my show that I didn't want to trust anybody. Like, how the hell am I going to end up in a long-term bond if I'm not going to trust? I'm, like, pushing it off, not even realizing it. Let's go to the next caller. Area code 601, last 3455. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Good morning. My name is Melinda, and I'm a guest of Cynthia, and I'm from Mississippi. I just wanted
nice.
to,
you got for us.
Hello, good morning. Hi, I just wanted to, I've been married for 28 years. My husband and I have been together since we were, you know, 15, 16 years old. And here's my thoughts around love and what I think, what love really, really means. I think people think that love is a thing. They connect it to a person or a being. But what, in my opinion, what love truly is love is developing routines. It's being consistent with an individual. It's having that security with that one individual that you can really say that you can count on. And, of course, being able to just feel safe with that person. So those are the aspects, in my opinion, that really make up love. It's not, I think people want to connect it to a person, but it's truly having those specific attributes that you feel safe, you feel secure, you have those routines, you're consistent with that individual. And I also think people immediately jump into the physical aspect of what they really think love is versus the mental and the emotional piece of it. To me, the emotional and the mental piece probably makes up about 80 or 90% of love versus the 10% of the physical aspect of it. So that's just my 2 cents. Thank you.
3 cents, Queen, and that was an amazing 3 cents. And Cecile got all y'all out here piping in, and we definitely appreciate 28 years of experience, and you just simplified the conversation in a way that if people take those edits, I think they'll be on a better path. So I appreciate you so much, Queen, for your 3 cents this morning. All right, y'all, I'm going to share this piece from my book real quick again. I think it just relates to a lot of even what she just mentioned as far as what we're out here doing today, if you will. So I kind of got it at the end of the segment, but I may go to break afterwards. Just to, again, take care of our sponsors, if you will. But for those that don't know, I wrote a book, I released it in March, called Reeducation of the Negro, and I'm going to share again a short piece. The piece is set up for these type of dialogues. This one is called Black Socrates Speaks, A Teenage Love. I was in the sixth grade the first time I fell in love at the tender age of 12 years old with the prettiest star in the sky, Vanessa Honey. She was the cutest sister in our school, and that's all it took for this brother to fall in love. The funny thing is most men, we never stop prioritizing beauty as a prerequisite for falling in love. But while young and immature, that's all we use. Most would qualify my love for Vanessa as puppy love because even by my own account, it wasn't based on much. On the night I so-called fell in love with her, she chose to dance with my classmate. That was right after both of us got the courage to ask her to dance at the exact same time to the last song of the night. In the long-standing tradition of school dances back in the day, the DJ played slow music for the last song, and whoever a girl chose to slow drag with technically became her boyfriend, even if they were never an item before they danced together. When Vanessa chose my classmate, my best friend at the time, I was left out in the cold. For the next 3 years of my life, despite her wading through a myriad of boyfriends, I professed my love for this girl. I became her best friend and sounding board when the other guys broke her heart. Ironically, this was happening when we both became interested in sex. And unfortunately, Vanessa gained a reputation for sleeping around with different guys. She did have several boyfriends, but Vanessa's reputation for being loose was just rumor mill stuff started by girls jealous of her beauty. As her lame best friend, I knew otherwise, or so I thought. Vanessa knew I loved her, but we separated that from our friendship. Then one day, we kissed, and for me, it was just like Prince sang on a door. The angels started crying up above. Finally, I thought, but I didn't know this would be my one and only kiss of Vanessa Honey, as we took entirely different paths entering that summer break. That summer, her mother shipped her off to her older brothers, and I was left heartbroken as the deal's first hit, Two Occasions, became my soundtrack for that summer. When she returned, she took an interest in an older guy, and I returned to my position as the lame best friend. Still heartbroken, I turned my attention to other girls, and later that summer, another young lady picked another guy over me. She said I was too nice, so out went the deal, and in came Too Short and Easy E to save my broken heart. So instead of entering a relationship with Vanessa Honey, the girl I loved, I started having sex with bitches. This was very hard to write because I've long stopped referring to women by that term, but honesty makes the point. And ironically, Vanessa Honey is the actual reason I don't direct the word towards women to this day. Although it was only two different girls, I got a reputation for sleeping around, which gave me props as a young boy. Too many for my age, but not necessarily pimping like Too Short rapped in his songs. As for Vanessa Hunt, years later, she confessed She lost her virginity the same summer she broke my heart when her mother sent her away. Unfortunately, her unfounded reputation of giving it up caused the same older boyfriend to rape her when he found out she was just a tease. Two very different paths for two young teenagers, but ultimately, what lessons could be learned here? My mother talked to me until I was blue in the face about protecting myself sexually, and thankfully I heeded her lessons. However, without discussing the emotions that come with sex and love, I entered a cycle many boys never grow up to break. A boy matures when he stops trying to have sex with every beautiful woman he meets. As far as Vanessa Honey, she continued to date abusive men, ultimately marrying her high school sweetheart, who also abused her up until he abandoned her. Previously on the Mental Dialogue talk show, we once asked, when should we talk to our children about real sex? Let's take this a step further and teach them about the powerful emotions associated with sex too early and the lifetime of damage it can cause. Here's a toast to my first true love and any sister dealing with equally damaged boys yet to mature into men. Vanessa Honey, fictional name, just my 3 cents. All I ask is that you think. I think I'm going to blow the actual break so we can get right into that. Sincere, I know you're familiar with the book. I think we have to have that as a part of today's discussion because I think it lays out the reality of how we're moving and misfinding love is what I'll say right now. But your thoughts of how that piece relates to this discussion, true love, how real is it?
Yeah, man, it relates in a real way, man. And I'm glad my aunt tapped in, so y'all got a chance to hear one of the beautiful black women that helped to raise this black man into who I am, along with my grandmother, my mother, and my the rest of my aunts and my beautiful cousins. But man, that was an amazing take, because sometimes we're not aware of why we're making choices and we never reflect on it. We don't know how we get to certain places circumstantially, right? So when we look at love being a principle, and I really wanted to state this, love is a principle, guys. It's here, like it's been here before us. It's going to be here while we're here, and it's going to be here after us. So we can't lower it to however we want to define it. It's the principle. Our job is to properly define it so we can circumstantially. Now, this is going to be different. So we can circumstantially reach it with our level of education, our level of knowledge, and where we are in this growth process as humans. So we have to be reflective, right, which I heard in that piece. Then we have to go about the best way of moving forward to be better and do better.
LaWanda, any thoughts on hearing that piece and how it relates to today's conversation?
First of all, that was a powerful piece. I was like, okay, I need to get the book. It wasn't until maybe a few months ago I was in therapy, and as I was in therapy, it was the first time in my adult life that I was in therapy and I wanted to focus on me and not point my finger at other people, because I knew that I had some issues that I needed to fix within myself. And I remember having to go back. That's why the book is so powerful. I remember going back to when I was 10 years old and I was like, well, not 10, I was 12 years old and I liked this guy and the guy rejected me for another girl. And I started, I went back to that place. I went all the way back to when I was 12 years old and how I felt during that rejection. And then I started to examine where I was now as a 40-year-old woman that never, ever reflected back at that moment, but just carried it from one relationship to another to another. And so that book is very powerful because what happens is if you don't heal and learn things differently, you begin to damage. It's kind of like this saying that if you don't heal from your bleeding, you'll bleed on people that didn't hurt you. It's the same thing.
And so it's really about understanding those concepts and those the times that you got hurt and actually trying to do the work with, because if you're not doing the work within yourself, you're actually just bringing one problem on to the next, and then you don't even get to experience what love truly is, because you're so clouded with all of the dysfunctions and all of the trauma and all of those other things. So until I went to therapy and said, okay, I need fixing. I need to fix this. I need to fix this. Help me fix this. I'm never going to experience love to the fullest extent if I'm not working on myself.
Now, I love those thoughts, and mm-hmm. I'll take this and I'll go to you, Marilyn, from Sincere's aunt with the beautiful call just now, mentioning, in a sense, the physical is just 10%. She laid out all these other things that's helped her succeed. And, you know, you are right, Sincere. If that's who's been teaching you, now I get why you are the way you are, brother. And I definitely applaud them for the amazing job. Well done, because you are so respected in our community here in the Atlanta area. And, again, teaching us about this subject, if you will. But her highlighting, you know, in a sense, that part is the 10%. And, you know, in the piece, even me, you know, at my purest form, I love that young lady without any sex, right? And that's the last thing I would think about since that point, because, again, all I ever heard, which was, you know, again, I appreciate my mom like hell for this, like protect yourself, don't bring babies home or whatever. I followed that to the T. But it's all the other stuff that goes with it when you're learning love the incorrect way, because with the foundation mm-hmm. and the community that you and Marilyn, you know, since have been talking about for so long throughout this show, you grow up and make the mistakes you hear in that piece. And so, Marilyn, if you will, just kind of jump in and, you know, in a sense, help us relate. But I think it's just calling out. A lot of us are doing exactly what we heard in my piece, Teenage Love. I think that's how a lot of us are misfinding love. I'm going to keep using that word because I don't have a better word right now. But your thoughts, Queen.
I really found that piece to be powerful, and I'm a proud owner of your book. And so that really spoke a lot to exactly what everyone has said. You know, I'm finding it hard to even, like, to expound more on what's already been expressed. But I think a key thing is that it touches a lot on kind of like what you said earlier about that fantasy bond is what we project onto others, things that we desire and hope without any real connection to reality and what we've and what we're projecting. And it lends itself to that level of misapplication of what we think love is, or, you know, and that feeling of love, that emotional basis of love, without anything that really backs it up. I mean, it was kind of like things you were pulling from thin air that didn't really exist, but you just kind of you created it out of that desire of wanting it to exist. And I think that lends itself to the problems that we have in our current day relationships when it comes to just toxicity. It lends itself I'm going to point this out because I work a lot with women who have been through toxic and abusive relationships. And it's particularly when it comes to narcissistic abuse, not necessarily that the person has NPD, but those types of behaviors within a relationship. And there's nothing like that romanticism of love that fuels those types of relationship and that type of abuse in relationships, because we project whatever we want. And when someone is looking to take advantage of someone else, or they like to project that false reality, they love to attach to whatever your ideas are and what you want. And when you don't have a firm grasp about what love is in action and what it really looks like, anyone can come in and sell you on anything when it comes to love. You know, just based on what they say, just mm-hmm. based on, you know, the appearances mm-hmm. that they can hold up, you know. So if you don't have a real strong basis understanding and core principle about what love truly is, you know, you can be totally bamboozled by anyone who comes along
and
can play the role, you know, for the short term. So, you know, I think that superficial love, superficial basis of love can be very dangerous for us and kind of trap us in really bad situations and everything, whether it comes to our own behavior towards others or the behavior that we allow and accept from other people when it comes to our relationships. And so I think that was a key thing to, you know. Hello?
Yeah, we're still alive.
Okay, we here?
Yeah. It sounds like it's me and you here, sister. So I love what you just said, and it's part and parcel for the conversation that we're having, mm-hmm. and it's important to share these different ideas and get different perspectives so we can grow in that love, that we're talking about. Lulu, what are your thoughts on that? Are you still here with us?
Yeah, I'm still here with you guys.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on what Marilyn just so eloquently expressed?
Yeah, she did a great job because I totally agree. You know, I agree because I've been in that space. I've been that person. So mm-hmm. I totally agree with the toxicness and the trauma and just, you know, being from being in abusive relationships and being in very bad relationships and being the person that brought all of that trauma and being the person that mm-hmm. brought all of that thing to the table. You know, I had those moments where I was, you know, pointing the finger all the time and I wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. fixing me. And so I totally agree with what she's saying, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, says that's a great realization because oftentimes we're not willing to accept the accountability, which is a part of the growth process. And mm-hmm. it's a beautiful part of the growth process because, like, we have to think, what are we really teaching our children?
Mm-hmm.
You really have to think about that. Like, through my actions, through the things that I say, through the things that I do, what am I actually teaching our children? So Marilyn, with you being in that space, what do you say to that sentiment?
You know, I think that's like the biggest thing. We talked about that earlier, how a lot of times the marriages, the relationships that we create and live out in the presence of our children, and they're always, you know, watching. They know and see so much more than, you know, we like to believe, you know, and it's, you know, we don't even have to actively be doing a lot of things. You know, we think a lot of times we think that we're covering things and that we're protecting them from different things, but they see and feel all of it. Children are so perceptive, and they're just truly, you know, spiritual beings that are at the core of them. And so we can't hide it from them. And it's more so, sometimes it's less even what we do in our relationships and more what we allow in our relationships and what we allow our children to see that is acceptable within our relationships. So even if it's our own behavior, but even the way that we allow people to treat us. And a lot of times we're sending our children out into the world with the message that it's okay for us to either be doormats or, you know, for us to accept, you know, things that are not love. From other people, and that it's okay for us to open ourselves up to that kind of abuse. And so, or whether it's abuse or usury or whatever the case may be. So I think just being very intentional about what we accept within our relationships and what we require. And I love what the young woman that called earlier talked about. I call that love languages, basically, you know, understanding your love languages, and because that applies not only within romantic relationships, but also even in the relationships with your children and other people in your lives, is understanding how what that person requires in order to truly feel loved and how important that is. And so, you know, I don't want to get too far off topic, but I think it's essential that we are very intentional about our relationships because it teaches our children everything, you know, that they feel that they need to know, and they take all of that into their own relationships and into their own lives.
Hey, thank you for that thought. I just got knocked off. No, I got knocked off, so thank y'all for carrying on without me. I was saying some profound shit on my when I wasn't on here either. Well, y'all know how sad I was when I realized the phone had dropped. I'm telling y'all, it was the best part of the show, man. Y'all see? Hey, y'all. Hey, glad we can laugh about it. We all forget to break. I definitely got to take care of our sponsors. I can't keep jumping to this break, and we'll keep this conversation going. Thank y'all for holding me down while I was off. We'll be right back. But all I ask is that you think. For the callers that are out there, if y'all are trying to jump in, you do need to press 1. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. We'll be right back.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wine. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping gel or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Try the sweet red first.
Okay. That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
I have a question for you. It's like a personal question, though.
Talk to me.
How will you know when someone is the one?
Here's the thing. I don't believe in the one.
Really? There is no one for you.
I think it's a pyramid. Right? I think it's like this, right? And then at the bottom of the pyramid, there's some people, there are a lot of people that I'm kind of compatible with.
Not really.
And then above that, even more compatible with, above that, above, and then a very small group that I'm really compatible with. But the reason I struggle with the concept of the one is because, like, I was born in Nigeria. I moved here when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
Literally one thing could have happened and I would have never moved here.
Mm-hmm.
So if the one is in America and I never came to America, I would have never found her. Or if the one is in Nigeria, now that I'm in America, I don't go back, I'll never find her. She might be in Europe or Brazil or whatever the case may be. So when I'm looking at the world, the one doesn't really make sense to me. I think there are ones, but I don't think it's just one.
That's interesting.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, true love, how real is it? You'll hear another cut from the We Need to Talk podcast. Again, just found that podcast. Recommend that you find them. Let's continue this conversation, if you will. Cecile, I guess I'll kind of jump to you. Definitely spent a lot of years looking for the one, lost in that concept. I think we've, to a degree, beat up the concept of how we've learned love in the society. When I got knocked off, I don't know what part I got cut off at, but I was highlighting ultimately why in other parts of the world how family is more involved, because for the most part, your family understands you better than you do, right? They raised you, if you will. And so it is quite normal, for example, in arranged marriages that your family is picking things that you understand, and to avoid, like what Marilyn talked about right before, like how you can get taken advantage of when you have this fairy tale idea of the one, or these things that you project, and how someone, you know, with the tendencies or whatever can take advantage of that ideal, low emotional, low level of love, if you will, versus Western society completely being lost on the benefit of having a tribe behind you, selecting and finding someone who they understand things about you and who you select. And people in those situations understand love is an action. And like your aunt said, the routine creates stronger bonds because it's built on that action, not this fairy tale idea of a one. Your thoughts, King?
Sure, no doubt about it, man. That's that's beautifully put. We misalign terms and we don't resolve to understanding, right? So I like to say that my wife is my divine complement, and she is my one. But she is the one that I chose that understands oneness, right? Mm-hmm. So it's less about the one, and it's more of an understanding of oneness, right, which I learned that she got through her family, right? And I have grown to understand oneness as well, so we can create a unified bond that's bigger than both of us. Just like you said, being well-respected in the community, now, I take that as a responsibility that I take seriously to show our babies, to show our men and women what it can be like once you decide to connect at the highest level, which is love and marriage, man. So it's not so much about the one, and it's about the one that understands oneness and is willing to project that out into their family, the community, so forth and so on.
Oh, beautiful. Luanda, your thoughts, Queen?
I was thinking the same exact thing. Yeah, I can't follow that up. I'm with Sincere all the way on that one.
Fair enough.
Absolutely.
Yep. Just making sure y'all are being heard. Anything you want to add to that, Marilyn? Because again, ultimately, I feel like the first hour, and I keep highlighting this because again, we talked about the concept of learning love, and so that missing foundation of your family involvement in who you're selecting. And the reality is, I'll be very honest about even what I'm saying, based on a lot of the dysfunctional, broken families or whatever that unfortunately have existed within our community, even in someone hearing it now, they might, in a sense, can't simply now go to their family to back them in again, something that's quite foundational in your culture. So I do understand that with some level of the brokenness, it's not an easy fix. But I do hope that if people are learning love, as we mentioned in the first hour, they're learning this stronger, this better, more foundational concept of what love is, that in learning it, that they, in a sense, maybe be the cause that stops it continuing to be a generational curse where they're letting their babies go out in the marketplace, the society that we have now, and just bringing back, in a sense, whoever. Because as you said from the beginning, you don't even manifest our love into a lot of marriages today. So it's all a product of this misunderstanding, mostly in my opinion, but again, just trying to bring it full circle. Lose the fairy tale, and how do we even get to a foundation if we didn't have it? Maybe that's kind of where I would ask you to go. Marilyn, that's for you. You know what I mean? Like, how do we get to some of this foundational stuff, if we didn't have it? I would say people should call you and pay you whatever and call Sincere and pay him whatever to get it if they don't have it. But I'm just saying, you know, if someone's hearing this for the first time, Queen, like, what do you think are some steps people can take if they don't have that family to back them and who they're selecting in a mate? Because, again, we don't even think to do that in Western society for the most part. I may have lost them. Let me see if I can bring it live.
I'm sorry, y'all. I was on mute. I was on mute myself.
Okay, well, me this time, y'all.
I'm sorry, and I'm like you. I was saying some real deep stuff a second ago.
Oh, I bet you topped what I had to say. I bet you can't. You topped myself, huh?
You know, but let me see if I can bring it back real quick. But I'm gonna say if it's okay for me to have the floor for just a minute to share a little bit of my own personal experience. Along with that is I was 18, or barely 18 when I was married for the first time, and you know, let's say I was pretty rebellious at the time too. My family was involved as traditionally they would be.
But I rebelled against a lot of what advice that I was giving, And who I chose at the time was not who they would have chosen for me. But I insisted, and they, you know, eventually relented, and they supported me because, you know, at the end of the day, they wanted to, I was young, they knew I was young, and they wanted to be there for me, and they didn't want me to, you know, step away from the family because I was so insistent on who I was going to marry. Long story short, clearly didn't, you know, turn out well, and at the end of the day, you know, one of the main tenets of, for us culturally, is that especially, you know, myself being the daughter in the family and the community, if they're not being treated well, your family will come back and reclaim you, you know, and say, and so that's along the lines of some of what happened where, you know, we eventually separated. And then following shortly after that, at this point, I'd learned, and I was now much more invested in allowing my family and to influence my choices and, you know, give me advice. And again, I was engaged to someone before, and before we, you know, took it any further, I definitely took this person to my family, and they talked to him, talked to me, they evaluated things, and believe me, I'm so grateful that I followed the advice, because I had an uncle who came and had a discussion with the person that I was engaged to, and then came back to me and said, nope, that's not the one, you know? And after a little bit more in depth, you know, with that person, I looked back and I realized that that was probably the worst mistake I could have ever made in my life if I had gone forward in that. And I saved myself a lot of time and energy also by having a strong boundary of not allowing relationships and courtships to drag out beyond a certain point, you know, that if it's not moving forward, to cut it off and save yourself a lot of pain. Again, with my current husband, you know, again, he has to approach my family. He has to do the traditional asking for your hand. They had those discussions with him. He and I had all of the necessary discussions beforehand and agreements. And when it came down to it, I didn't date him exclusively until we had that foundation with my family being accepting. First and foremost, of course, I wanted to go further with him, and he and I had mutual interest in moving forward. But until we had that foundation, we did not move forward until we had a certain understanding. And that's where the attraction, the admiration, the love, that emotional aspect was there, but we didn't allow that to be what we set the foundation on. Once we had our values in alignment and we knew how we would communicate, and I told you before that my husband and I actually drew up an agreement on how we would proceed, you know, in marriage and raising our families, what our values were, our goals, and all of those things were set up before we agreed, yes, we want to get married, we're going to move forward. And that has allowed us the space and the freedom to truly grow in love and be safe in that space, because we know what we have established as our parameters, as our boundaries, and as how we, our modus operandi, I should say, in how we're going to raise our family, and how we're going to interact with each other, and how we're going to respect each other.
I love it. Let me jump, if you will.
So, if you can let me wrap it up real quick, is for anyone, what I would suggest is, if you don't know how to move forward in this, is you don't have that family support and background, is to get a coach. You know, invest in yourself and in your future. Get a mentor, a coach. Get education as much as possible in understanding how to do all of those things. But having someone in the corner that can, you know, help you move through that process is really, really important, because there's so many things that we being in there don't see that somebody on the outside looking in, somebody with more experience can see. And it's very worth it to invest in that kind of support, whether it's a relationship coach or a matchmaker or whatever the case may be. I believe in that wholeheartedly.
No, absolutely. Nomalanga Malawi Moses, she is a sister I follow. She was the first person I saw to say kind of what you're talking about right now. I saw her say, for all these other areas of the life where we're seeking expertise, we'll go find a coach or expert, you know, take a class, spend money to learn that skill or learn from a coach. We'll use it in every area, but the most important area of our life, and based on what we have experienced, generally speaking, as a culture, we are missing in this main area, and won't think to
you know, look up, you know, the Peaceful Black Mama, you know what I mean, or go to a sincere, and again, I know y'all are helping plenty of couples, so some people are getting it, but in an area that's most important in our lives, we don't think to get coaching or a professional involved. Let me go to this last break, and we will wrap up this morning's amazing conversation. We will let callers still get in on this last segment. If you want to get in, the number is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the Connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetups, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
That's right, mentaldialogue.com. We are a premium referral service with this amazing community helping each other. We just had the Black Love Summer Tour this past weekend. Some of our members got connected. One of our members is actually traveling to Kenya, and one of our members is actually assisting and connecting her with people on that trip. Again, just a very organic community with all kind of testimonials, people working together and getting connected to experts. You know, like a Marilyn or really, if you will, like a Sincere, we definitely love to refer people to these professionals that can help us in areas like relationships, like we're talking about today. True love, how real is it? Before we finish the conversation, though, if you will, I wonder, you have this amazing series. I know you have an event coming up in November. So if you will, just highlight for those in the Atlanta area or people that maybe want to travel to the Atlanta area, tell them about what you're going to be doing in November with your series, if you will. Tell them the name of it, where it's at, when you're doing it, how they can get in contact to be a part of it.
So the event is called Why Should I Get Married? Again, I spoke about it a little bit earlier on why it, you know, was created. I think it's very important that we have events that are keeping the families together. I'm not over the event because I'm just not an expert in it, but I do, talk to a lot of people that are experts in it and that have a lot of experience in this area of love, and they're there to guide and give you help. And, something that you guys have been talking about is, having that community of people. A lot of people, as myself, I don't have a mom and I don't have a dad that is alive. Both of my parents are deceased. So the only thing that I do have is the community of other people to help me in relationships and things of that nature. So that's what the event is about. It's about, people that are on the verge of getting divorced. People that are, like me, that have had two divorces and just did not have the tools and didn't even want to have the tools. Like, it's for us to learn about, keeping our families together. And of course, we feed you and we entertain you, and there's poets and there's singers and there's a play that goes on about love, but it's really there so that we can help you keep your families together. The event is November 11th. If you are interested in the event, go to Eventbrite. You're going to look up Why Should I Get Married. It's going to pop right up. Get your tickets. It is in Jonesboro. A few people have been talking to me about adding more nights. I don't know if we're going to do that. So go ahead and get your tickets now for the event, November 11th. We're trying to bring it back where we're doing it every 3 months. We want your families to survive, and we do not want divorce to be an answer.
I love it. Look forward to being there at that event. And definitely wanted to bring, again, community. We are a community club, so we bring you community events. We evolved in the community. So thank you and look forward to being a part of that. This morning's discussion question, true love, how real is it? How real is it? So let's jump right into answering that question now that I think we have a good foundational understanding, you know, thanks to our two experts. Or at least a better understanding, or we're still learning, as we say, in the first hour. How real is true love? I'll let Sincere, or matter of fact, let's start with the Queen. Marilyn, you give us your thoughts on how real is it, actual true love?
True love is real, but it's not monolithic. It's not one-dimensional. There's a lot of pieces that go into that. And as I said before, love is not just the emotional aspect of it, it's not the feeling of love. Love is the action, is who you decide to be towards yourself and within the context of your relationship every day. So yes, there's definitely such a thing as true love. And it comes down to your choices. It comes down to, but true love has to be guided as well, I should say. True love has to have boundaries and parameters through which, you know, you operate in order for it to be maintained. You know, there's no guarantee that you're always going to wake up feeling in love with the person that you marry. You're going to have ups and downs and disagreements, and some days when you can just barely even stand each other once that, you know, initial honeymoon period wears off. But your commitment, and by the way, you know, lack of commitment is the number one reason for divorce in this country, and it's a symptom of the fact that many of us go into our marriages basing it on just emotion. And when those emotions fade, so does the commitment. The commitment has to come first. The action has to come first and be the foundation. And then everything else can grow, you know, in that soil, which is a much healthier basis for not just our own lives. You know, marriage is one of the primary determining factor of your lifelong happiness, the state of your marriage. And so it's not just the foundation and the soil with which your own future, you know, is going to thrive in, but your entire family, your children, and our community as a whole. It's essential that we you know, set that foundation and set that soil.
That makes so much sense, Sincere. I'm going to kind of pose that, in a sense, same thing to you. You already said in the first hour, you cringe when people say love isn't enough. But you, with this full context, what I think hopefully people have learned today, you say love is enough. Speak to that, how true love is enough.
True love is everything, and it is definitely real. If you leave here with nothing else, leave here with a good working definition of love, which is living on vital energy, L-O-V-E, living on vital energy. At the base level, we have to look at it as a ladder. At the base level, it's emotionality, it's emotion. But as you work up the ladder, you have words, you have actions, you have understanding that puts you in the space of God consciousness, the highest level of love, which is the only documented thing as being love at the highest level, which is bigger than you and the person that you're in it with. It's about tribe, it's about village. And without those things that operate our culture at the highest level, we will stay in survival mode and we won't be able to test and taste the fruits of love and its realities.
Nah, it makes so much sense. And I'll just highlight this, you know, I'm a science enthusiast, if you will. And so that emotional love, again, that you that we keep referring to and maybe a lot of us get caught up in, I think science has kind of shown at most it lasts a couple years, and that's an anomaly. It typically wears off much sooner, 3 to 6 months or whatever. But I think, you know, some studies mention, you know, at the most 2 years or even, you know, marriages surviving those 2 years, because when it, in a sense, wears off, that's where the action and the work begins. But to your point, Marilyn, if you have the wrong expectations, and that's, again, your commitment is lost, because if you had the expectation that this feeling would exist, then you don't understand how, for example, Michelle Obama goes viral just a couple of months ago saying, for 10 years, I didn't even like Barack. You know what I mean? And she's highlighting how wonderful their relationship and marriage is right now when she's sharing that on a, you know, on the TV, saying, hey, for 10 years, I didn't like the dude. And just highlighting, you know, the loss of commitment, and that ultimately how rewarding it was that even with 10 years of not liking him, how rewarding it is for her and him and the family, the ultimate thing that I keep hearing as a continuous message that, you know, most of us can admit, if you learn love like my piece, Teenage Love, then you don't know no parts of this. You literally jump between each relationship hoping that feeling lasts longer and longer. And usually, if you get scarred enough, the feeling lasts shorter and shorter. And now you pile up bodies. Whole nother conversation. We had that conversation a few weeks ago. But even us as men, there's a consequence even to that, believe it or not. And you actually have trouble finding what you should find, and especially if you don't have any guidance from others who, again, know you better than you know yourself, then it becomes even more difficult. And the biggest thing is, if you don't have that background, like as the one that said, for her, she doesn't have parents, if you will, if you say, if you know, in her situation. But here's the other unfortunate reality for a lot of us. If that parent-child relationship was disjointed from when we were young, then a lot of us wouldn't trust our parents' guidance anyway, based on a lot of things that we're seeking for somebody else to come give us that our parents didn't. And if that's your reality, I will highlight once again, follow these amazing professionals and get you a damn coach. A lot of you know you're having this experience, and you're not going to be able to swim on your own at first. Have somebody hold your hand to learn how to swim. With that said, Marilyn, let them know how they stay in contact with you, how they can follow you and find your services. Same thing for you, Sincere, as well. Go ahead, ma'am.
Absolutely. I can be found on IG at The Peaceful Black Mama. Also on Facebook, I'm Marilyn Baldwini, and the website is thepeacefulblackmama.com. Reach me at any of those, and you know, I'm always available, and I have plenty of supportive content, programs, and things like that that can help, you know, get our community back on track.
Yeah, at a minimum, follow the queen. I have members who love following her, and I don't think they've gotten coaching from her, but I've heard them specifically tell me they like following her because of what they're getting and gaining, the knowledge that they're gaining. Sincere, same thing for you, King. How do people find you and follow you and get access to your services as well?
All right, peace and love, family. Thank you again for the conversation, my brother. Hey, thank you, Queens, for contributing here today, man. Y'all are awesome and amazing. But you can connect with me at Sincere, Sincere, S-I-N-S-E-A-R, S-I-N-C-E-R-E on Facebook and Instagram. You know, you can DM me, and I have all the supportive links there so you can see who I am and what I do. But, y'all, I live it. So I live it. Me and my beautiful wife, we're putting it out here in the community. We're showing black love at a high level, and we don't apologize for it. All right? It's our power fabric. All right? So that's what we're doing out here.
Now, I love it. Re-education of Negro, out on Amazon.com. Go look it up, find the book, and have these conversations. It's designed to create these type of dialogues. I think all of you, all three of you, have been wonderful. This morning's discussion question, true love, how real is it? If you didn't know before, you know now. And I'm going to leave y'all with this amazing cut from another podcast. I forget which podcast this was, but I'll just kind of close the show out with this. But thank y'all so much. See y'all next Saturday. All I ask.
Marriage is work. Staying with the same person for 50 years is work. Staying with the same person for 65 years, that's work. That's not just love. That's work. Love works. True love will work. True love will make you work on yourself. It will make you work on your relationship. It will make you work on your communication style. It will make you work on your tone. It will make you work on being home on time. It will make you work on cooking. It will make you work on cleaning. True love actually works. It ain't just a feeling. It's an action. I've been married for 23 years. I'll be married for 24 years, May 1st of 2023. Our love works for each other. We work at this. This ain't just we wake up every morning just in love. We work at it. And we've worked at it for 23 years, and that's why the relationship is so good. Juliet's my girl. You know what I'm saying? But we work at this. It's not just some, I woke up like this. I woke up like this. No, I didn't just wake up like this. I worked at this. I worked at this. We worked at this. But when you don't work, it doesn't work. If only one of you is working, it's not going to work. And so if both people don't show up with the tools, or both people don't need at least show up with the mindset that, hey, we want to make this work.